We are not new issue by A.S. Copley. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Our hard attitude to all God's people is that of fellowship as far as we see eye to eye together. But we cannot fellowship nor endorse what is to us plainly error. However, we do not brand other workers as heretics, false teachers, false prophets, etc., because they do not agree with us, though some of their teaching may be false. Yet we will not allow error taught from our pulpit, nor appear in our publications. God holds us responsible for what we teach or allow taught. If the reckless, heartless, loveless judgment of some Christian workers were correct, there would scarcely be one true Bible teacher or saint in 10,000. Again and again we are denominated false teachers, false prophets, teachers of devilish or damnable doctrines, and such like stinging epithets. So are also workers in other parts treated who are in full fellowship with our teaching. Such accusers evidently are not honest nor sincere before God. They hold not a single eye to His glory. If they know what we teach, they cannot honestly label us what we are not, nor accuse us of teaching what we do not teach. And if they are ignorant of our doctrine, they are simply criminal for taking a stand against us from hearsay or supposition. Now it is not our purpose to try to stop the cruel mouth of Alexander the coppersmith and his offspring. The Lord will reward them, 2 Timothy 4:14. We only remember the deeds of Diotrephes prating against us with malicious words because he loveth to have the preeminence, 3 John 9. Such fellows are generally thoroughly schooled in their crafty self-efforts and hence are beyond salvation from their folly. We have not thought of trying to change them by anything we might say. As God said of Ephraim, he is joined to his idols, let him alone. Hosea 4:17. So we do, but we do not rail out against them. Our aim and our hope. Our hearts yearn to help and comfort those who are misinformed and misled and to whom some unscrupulous rascal has misrepresented us. Underhanded self-seekers leave the weak and ignorant under the impression that we are some other religious company and teach what certain errorists teach. From various quarters, news comes to us that we are accused of being new issue or Jesus-only folk, or we are classed with them. We have written a plenty and plain enough in our tracts and in the Grace and Glory publication to assure any honest investigator that such charges are absolutely false. But those who are hindered may not have read what we have written before. Furthermore, tricksters can paint our teaching side by side with unscriptural theories in such a way as to deceive the ignorant. Some people are colorblind spiritually, even as others are naturally. For example, the words temper, tempter, tempest, and temple may look alike to some casual readers or sound alike to some casual hearers. Therefore, by God's grace, we make another effort to explain that we are not new issue or Jesus-only folk. We are not in their organization nor in fellowship with them as a movement. We are ready also to explain every position we hold, every phase of doctrine we teach, and give unanswerable scriptural reasons, therefore. We consider the new issue theory to be rank, blind heresy which wrests the scriptures and shamefully dishonors the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The following are proofs of dissimilarity. 7 proofs of dissimilarity. 1. New issue jumbles the three persons of the deity into one person and calls that person Jesus. We flatly refuse that theory, for it is unscriptural, unreasonable, impossible, and insane. The fallacious thoughts and sayings that such a muddle engenders are extremely horrible. Intelligent Christians who have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit recoil from it with disgust. 2. New issue makes light of Trinitarians and accuses them of teaching three gods. In this they are dishonest, for they know that we believe in the three persons of the one Godhead, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are distinct persons, and each has a distinct office. Neither person can become the other. The Father never was and never will be Jesus. The Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Holy Ghost never was and never will be Jesus. We are not Unitarians who deny the three divine personalities. We believe in one God, the Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 8:4-6, which implies the Holy Spirit with whom Jesus was anointed. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, 1 John 5:7. Isaiah 48:16 shows three distinct persons in the deity. Three, some, if not all New Issue people, teach water baptism as essential to salvation. We teach salvation by faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Baptism as a means of salvation is works or human effort. It argues that Christ's death and resurrection were imperfect, and that God's power to save is limited and needs man's help. Baptism in water symbolizes our death and resurrection with Christ, but it does not help to save us. Baptism is a love token of our faith in what God wrought for us through Christ his Son. It has absolutely no saving value. Jesus alone is the Savior. They misrepresent John 3:5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By this verse, they claim that a person is not saved unless he has been baptized in water and anointed with the Spirit and speak in tongues. No reference is made here to being filled with the Spirit. Water in this verse figures the Word of God. Paul teaches the same vital truth in Titus 3, saying, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing or laver of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost," Titus 3:5. Ephesians 5:26 shows plainly that water here means the Word, that he might sanctify, having cleansed it by the washing or laver of water in the Word, Revised Version. These citations call to mind Exodus 30:18-21, the priests washing their hands and feet in the laver. See also John 13:10. Peter confirms this interpretation by saying, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter 1:23. In 1 John 5:8, the water doubtless refers to the word of God, for baptismal water never has any saving value. It is only a figure, a symbol. Compare also 1 Peter 3:21. How strange that New Issue teaching emphasizes works as necessary to obtain salvation, and yet it is not strange, for if, using one of their own writer's words, anyone can control his mental processes as to believe that the twisting, disordering, and handling of the Word of God deceitfully, and wresting the Scriptures as New Issue does to make them fit their impossible theory, they can easily go off on tangents regarding other doctrines. In fact, this destructive heresy is sure to cripple everyone's knowledge of the Bible who accepts it. 4. Some, if not all New Issue folk, claim that no one is saved until he speaks in another tongue. This is another of their fallacies, which we repudiate and abominate. Speaking in tongues is the divine sign of the anointing with the Holy Spirit. It is not in any sense a savior. Speaking in tongues by the operation of the Spirit glorifies God and is a sublime means of adoring the Savior, but it is not a means of nor help to salvation. The writer was saved for many years and fully assured of it before he was immersed or baptized in Lake Erie or spoke in tongues. Sinners cannot receive the Holy Spirit nor speak in tongues by the Spirit. Only those who are already saved have a right to these gifts. 5. New Issue claims that baptizing in Jesus' name, as the disciples did, is the fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. And some who accuse us of being New Issue commit the same error. Thus they mix up kingdom doctrine with church doctrine. We teach no such thing, for they are not the same. Matthew 28:19 will be observed by Israel when the kingdom is restored to them on earth. Matthew 28:7 and verses 10 and 11 indicate that Jesus met the 11 disciples, as mentioned in verses 6 through 20 of Matthew 28, on the day of his resurrection. The entire scene portrayed in those last five verses is typical and prophetic. It has nothing to do with this church age as it is usually interpreted and applied. Even the 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew will be fulfilled during the first 7 years of Christ's reign, and Matthew 28:16-20 will follow them in their fulfillment. That is why the disciples did not baptize in the name of the Trinity. Jesus in the mountain, Matthew 28:16, figures himself exalted on his millennial throne. The disciples seeing him there remind us of Isaiah 25:9 and 27:6. Read these carefully. During those 40 days of Jesus' sojourn, which followed his resurrection and before he ascended to heaven, the disciples saw nothing ahead but the kingdom of Israel on earth. Hence, their question shortly before he ascended, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Acts 1:6. Mark his answer, for he knew that it would be postponed. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts 1 verses 7 and 8. A needful explanation. The important phrase, "end of the world," earth, in the Greek, soon teleos, here and in Matthew 13:37-40-49 and Matthew 24:3 should be translated as in the Revised Version, "consummation of the age." The millennial age or period was the only future age then known to the disciples. They knew nothing of this present church period. Therefore, the millennial period was the age whose end, consummation, they should expect. It could mean nothing else to them. They did not then understand what Jesus meant by the phrase, "my church," Matthew 16:18.